Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, here's one more reason to not believe in modern-day future-predicting prophets. Nobody, that I'm aware of, nobody saw this one coming. But honestly, I think we should have. This is Wretched Radio, the hottest kerfuffle on social media. And believe me, there's plenty of hot kerfuffles on social media. But right now, it's the firestorm over pastors who didn't talk about the Charlie Kirk murder in Sunday service. There are some very loud voices that are drawing a really hard line in the evangelical sand and encouraging folks to abandon their churches if their pastor didn't address the assassination, or if they didn't address it enough, or if it wasn't as strong as they felt it should be. Now, we should have seen this coming, and we should have anticipated there could potentially be a pretty substantial exodus from churches over the Charlie Kirk assassination, because I think the issues lying behind, get ready for this, COVID and Kirk are similar. Obviously, the two events are different, but I think the themes behind each one of the details are identical. The questions of how engaged should a church be in politics? How do we stand against evil and darkness? Now, in the COVID situation, it was the government feeling the encroachment of the government. With Charlie Kirk, it's all of the social and the moral issues and political stuff too. That the church should have a particular posture toward those things, it caused a great deal of division inside of the body during COVID. Now, there were different issues swirling around COVID than the Kirk assassination. Obviously, masks and jabs and quarantining, social distancing. How is COVID even a thing? But I think what's lurking behind COVID and Kirk is the same. Do we submit? Do we resist? Are we passive? Do we stand firm? In other words, the shared theme with COVID and Charlie Kirk is, will you stand strong or will you compromise? Which, by the way, totally valid to consider. And if I could, as an aside, just maybe to keep you from being agitated with me at any point in this, although I cannot make that guarantee, because agitating people is a spiritual gift and I exercise it regularly. I'm not talking about any particular situation, nor am I making a commentary on either COVID or Charlie Kirk. That is not my point. We're trying to deal with an issue of voices telling pastors what they should be doing in the pulpit on Sunday morning, and telling people what to do if the pastor doesn't. This is happening a lot, and we need to sort through this. And just to maybe with a bit of a spoiler alert, methinks that there's kind of a solution to this difference of opinion. Now, back to the original diatribe. People left churches during COVID over the mass business, the social distance, all that stuff, whether the church should comply, whether the church should stay closed or open for business. That was, wow, that was hotly debated. But the underlying themes, are you going to stand up or not? Are you conservative? Are you a compromiser? Will you stand firm? Are you going to cave? Will you join the fight? Or are you going to kowtow to ridiculous and inconsistent government rules, which they were, that violate our constitutional right to practice religion as we see fit, which frankly, I think it did. I don't think that people left their church because of COVID per se, because of masks and jabs. It was the stance of the pastor, the elders, and the church, whether they were willing or reticent to stand against bad stuff. Because that's what Charlie Kirk was about, standing against bad stuff. the people who thought the government was overreaching and were encouraging, perhaps even insisting pastors treated a certain way, they were standing against the darkness too. Do you see how they're kind of the same thing with different details? Now, if I could, as yet another aside, I'm not making a blanket statement, taking sides, because one of my points is going to be every single scenario needs to be weighed on its own merits. I'm just trying to make one simple point, and I might be on the verge, if I haven't already crossed the line, of beating the point to death. COVID was a lightning rod regarding biblical submission, separation of church and state, the issues that we've been debating in the church really for 2,000 years. What is the Christian response when a government appears to go sideways? That is why we should have known people would be leaving churches because of pastors who chose not to speak about Charlie's assassination. Churches that stayed closed during COVID were considered compromised for not opposing an external threat. Similarly, pastors who chose not to preach about an executed man who stood against corrupt government, corrupt morals, they're considered compromised, weak, and just not on the team of resistance to what some would call tyranny or the decay of society. However, that begs, and I'm not talking about Alistair, that begs the question, should Christians leave their church if their pastor didn't speak about Charlie Kirk on Sunday? Now, to sort this is an effort to be helpful. I would be entirely hypocritical if I said, this is the way we need to deal with it. Because my point in this is, there's no single individual who gets to pontificate what any local church does. So let's sort through, I think, five issues. And I think it'll help all of us to love one another through this issue and through this season so that we're all biblical. And that's what we want, right? So this is an effort to try to be helpful. And I think you might be surprised where I believe this ultimately leads us. So here we go. Five big questions, five big thoughts. This is an ecclesiology issue. This is all about church theology. What is the church? What are we doing there? What's the point of the Sunday morning service? And now number two flows out of number one, and it's homiletics. What and how a preacher should preach. That's a part of the leave the church over the Kirk assassination conversation. Number three, to what level of theology does this particular dispute rise? That's a big question. What theological issue is a pastor off on if he didn't choose to preach about this on Sunday morning? And just in case you think I'm taking sides or tipping here, I'm not. Just for the record, because it's on the record, I talked about it Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. We talked about it in Sunday school. The pastoral prayer included Charlie Kirk and his family. So just so you know, I'm not trying to jump on one side or the other. I'm trying to maybe in a little teeny tiny degree help us navigate through this, because y'all, we don't need more division, do we? Look, there's a time to fight, but we want to be fighting all the time with one another. Issue number four, what's the role of the shepherd? And how does he shepherd the flock? That's really big. Pastor, what's the pastor's role? How does he help the sheep? And then number five, and this is going to be a kind of a dangling chad, do you agree with Martin Luther, the reformer? That'll become clear in a moment. So once we work through those questions, then I will share principles for pastors to ponder and an encouragement for a pastors to consider addressing the issue, and principles for members to consider before they leave their church. And when we're done, I'm confident we'll all be singing worship songs together. Hopefully not that worship song. So let's dive into this, shall we? And let's attempt to do it with a heart trajectory that says, we want fellowship. We want churches to thrive. We want churches to flourish. We want them to stand strong in a community. We want that for the local church. And so if we have this conversation with that desire, that we don't want to hack on each other, because I assure you, for those who are saying, you got to leave the church for the pastor who did not discuss it, there's the ones that didn't discuss it, very possibly saying, those people need to be judged for what they're doing. Well, okay, let's see if we can bridge that gap. And I think we can bridge that gap if we answer the five big questions that I just discussed and determine what the local church is about, what preaching is about, what shepherding is about. Let's see if we can do that amicably, shall we? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you've grabbed the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A path forward that leads to unity and no compromise? Can it be? This is Wretched Radio. Hot, 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 hot potato on the internet. should a member of a church depart if the pastor didn't preach on the Charlie Kirk assassination on Sunday? I think that that's a reasonable question to ask, but I believe that there are crucial elements that we need to consider before picking a side or making a decision. And incidentally, as you will see, this is going to help all of us if we're ever pondering, is it time to leave my church? When do you stay? When do you go? And for our purposes, is this one of those issues that should cause you to say, adios, pastor? As mentioned, I think that there are five big ideas that we need to work through that'll bring us, I think, to a really helpful conclusion. First, let's tackle the question about ecclesiology, specifically the Sunday morning service. What's the point of our assembling? Because if you think that the sole purpose of the worship service is to focus on Jesus Christ, which I suspect we tend to agree with, all of us, but imagine a fellow, he's like, that's it. That is all we do on the Sunday morning. It is just a focus on Jesus Christ. Then it's not hard to imagine he's going to have a hard time preaching about Charlie Kirk. But where you stand on what Sunday morning should be about will guide your decision about whether to stay or whether to go. For the people who believe that God moderates the church service with the elements that he wants, that pastor is going to think it is highly inappropriate to distract from that by speaking about a national issue, no matter how important it is to the flock, which, again, I'm going to suggest should be reconsidered. We're just trying to lay this out step by step. So let me put it this way. For the pastor who has a super high view of church and its purpose defined by exclusively focusing on Jesus Christ, that guy will be reticent. Yes, I said reticent, to import anything into the service but God's regulated elements. For those who don't share that same understanding of ecclesiology, they're going to be like, duh, this is a no-brainer. Ask yourself the question, which one of these is sinning? Which one is sinning? That's an important question. The second issue that we need to ponder is preaching. What is it? Every single pastor, whether they're even aware of it or not, they've got a theology or a philosophy of preaching. So for those who believe that expository verse-by-verse preaching is the most biblical way to preach, and I affirm that, that guy's not likely to inject a news story, no matter how impactful it was, no matter how much it affected the sheep. Now, for those who are less rigid in their adherence to expository preaching, and by the way, I'm not as rigid as some on expository preaching. So I get this, but it depends on where you're at on the spectrum of expository preaching. If you don't think expository preaching is good, let's say, well, you're not going to hesitate to bring up a current event. Third consideration, got to determine the level of theology. This is so key. If a man thinks that Charlie's assassination isn't really a theological issue, should we be surprised he doesn't think it rises to the level of interrupting the Sunday service with a news event? So we've got to ask ourselves the question, by the pastor not preaching about it, why is that an offense that some would say demands departure from that church? Fourth, what's the job of the shepherd? There are some who firmly believe that the single best and maybe the only way to shepherd the flock is not through talking through issues, but simply preaching and teaching God's word. They're aware that people, they're hurting, that they're upset, but they're convinced that scripture and preaching are the balm that they need, not a teaching or a commentary on social issues. Okay. If that's your pastor and he feels that way, ask yourself the question, should you be upset with him if he didn't discuss this on Sunday morning, if this was his motivation? Because as we'll discuss, I do believe that there are pastors who are compromising and who are cowardly, but that is not a one-size-fits-all for those who didn't choose to speak about the Kirk event
on Sunday morning. Finally, I think every pastor needs to ponder a statement from Martin Luther. So those who disagree with Martin will not be moved to preach about any current topic. Here's the quote, which I'll tip my hand. I affirmed this. Expository preaching, verse by verse. But, said Luther, if I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I'm not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere fight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Now, we're not going to exegete Martin Luther because that was probably not even a direct quote, but more of a compilation that was attributed to him based on his teaching. And he may have been focusing more on theological wars as opposed to the pastor who doesn't want to address current issues for the sake of the sheep who are hurting. But I think the principle is there. For the shepherd, when you see that the sheep are either scattering, getting devoured, they're limping and hurting, should or should the shepherd not try to apply directly scripture to their troubling? I think that every pastor needs to answer that. To those who don't want to talk about those issues, I would encourage you, are you sure you want to be as rigidly constrained by expository preaching that you can never address an issue in the church? And now look, which issue it is that you talk about, which you don't. I get it. There's plenty of room to debate on that. But if the shepherd is to take care of the sheep, shouldn't that include taking care of them from the centerpiece of the life of the church, which is the pulpit? I'm asking. I'm not telling. I'm asking because I'm kind of a fan of the autonomy of the local church. I'm not going to tell you what to do, Pastor. It is between you and the Lord. You've got other elders. You sort it in your circumstances, because you know what I don't know? I don't know what's going on in the life of your church. I don't know what's going on in your heart. And that is why I think both sides, we kind of need to like work through this less emotionally and really more theologically. So now to those who want to cancel, I think you need to do some work before you skedaddle from your church because the pastor didn't preach or dedicate time to Charlie in the service. I think the question you need to answer is why? Why did he choose to not include Charlie on Sunday? Is it because he's a coward? Is he a compromiser? Okay, you might have grounds to go, maybe. But before you do, you need to spend time with him to try and encourage and teach him in that direction. Furthermore, might I say to those who are loudly calling for pastors to step down from the pulpit because they didn't preach on this subject, what if it's a decade from now and that pastor looks back and goes, you know, I blew it. I should have talked about that issue. Can a pastor make a mistake? That brings us to the issue of what level of theology does this rise? If you conclude that your pastor is compromised to such a degree that you cannot stay under his authority, then talk to him. Consult with other wise believers without turning it into gossip so you can make a biblical and wise decision for you and your family. Remember, you committed to that church when you became a member. Probably took some sort of covenantal vow. You should never leave a church quickly because of one Sunday morning service. Having said that, if your pastor didn't dedicate time to Charlie because of his convictions on the five issues we discussed, is it right to leave a man because he thinks the church is for Jesus Christ only? Or the preaching should be explicitly and exclusively biblical? Or that this issue doesn't hit a sufficient theological target? Or that the sheep are ministered best through the preaching of the word? When you kind of frame it like that, it's like, Why would you want to leave a pastor who holds those convictions, even if you disagree with them? We need to remember we're breathing cultural air. These issues are hot. I get it. I get what's going on with the Charlie Kirk assassination. We've spent plenty of time talking about it here. I get it. But we can't make church decisions, theological decisions, and unity decisions without recognizing, okay, am I being stoked here? Am I because in Peru, they're not having this conversation about whether to leave a church about Charlie Kirk because it's not a big issue for them, but it is here. In other words, we need to remember we're breathing cultural air. Maybe, just maybe, if we work through this with these five principles in mind, maybe we'll have pastors that reconsider their stand, and maybe we'll have some voices turn down the volume demanding their removal from the pulpit. This is Wretched Radio.